So great to be here with you all this morning. If you don't know me, my name is Kyle. I'm one of the teaching pastors here at the park. Yes, hi JD. Thanks for waving, saying hi. Appreciate that. If you're new and you've not met me, I would love to talk to you or Scott. If you're someone who just has any questions about the park, we love having every one of you here today. And this is a fun Sunday because we're closing out our Storyform series. So we do this every summer. And we do it because we think hearing from not just us teachers is what needs to happen. Like, there's so many of you in this room who God has done amazing things in your life. And we also want to say that we should all be ready to tell the story. This is what Paul says. We should always be prepared to give a response for the faith that's in us. So God has done something in your life, right? I believe that he has. He's done a lot of things for all of us. And so we're called as people who follow Jesus to share what God has done in our life with other people. That's being a witness. That's sharing a testimony. We were talking this morning in school theology about evangelism. I am an evangelist. If you look at this model and my giftings, I'm an evangelist. And to me, when I first heard that, I did not like that I was an evangelist. Because I pictured, you know, the guy on the street corner with a bullhorn as what an evangelist was. But what an evangelist really is someone who shares the story of the gospel, the good news of what God has done to others. And they want to invite other people into that story. And all of us have that built into us. We all have a story that God has given us. And maybe you think I'm not good at it, and I sometimes am bad at it. But you have something God has done in your life. And you should be always ready to share that with other people, to share the goodness of who Jesus is and what he's done in your life. Because when we share what God has done in our life, other people resonate with that, and they are able to come into the gospel, come to the story of Jesus. So we have a thing on our website, if you go to theparksa.org, that is where there's like an outline of how it can guide you in writing what your story is. And this is a great practice, and I challenge all of you, one way or another, to sit down and think, how was I brought to faith? What happened in my life? We have this sort of format, if you go look on there, that's just a simple format. It walks you through the beginning, your creation, the beginning of your life, maybe what formed you at the beginning. And then you look at the fall, some brokenness in your life, something that wasn't right at some point. And then you would look at the redemption, and that's how Jesus changed everything. How Jesus came in and changed that brokenness and changed your life. And then finally, we look at restoration. We look at the ongoing work that God is doing in our life. We are all being refined, renewed daily, right? God is doing something in us. And often what we'll see when we write our stories, we'll see that something that happened near those beginning, either the brokenness or your beginning, is actually informing how you're moving now in the world, what God has given you to do and called you to do. So I grew up going to church. I had a drug problem. I was drugged to church every Sunday. You know, that's an old Baptist joke. I can do that. I'm allowed at this point, I think, to use those. I was very involved in my youth group growing up. It was one of the most important parts of my life. I will tell you, we went every Sunday morning. We had Sunday school. I went to youth choir. I was in youth choir. I sang. We went and would go places and sing. Kinsey, your story of this is the day, same for me. My dad made us sing this is the day every morning. And then Wednesday night youth group. And we did camps every summer. So I grew up in Oklahoma. Anyone from Oklahoma? I don't even know if anyone in here is even from Oklahoma. Don't boo me. Yeah, Clay. In Oklahoma, the Baptist General Convention of Oklahoma, we have this camp that everyone would go to every summer called Falls Creek. You ever heard of Falls Creek? No? Okay. Well, Falls Creek Baptist Camp is a 5-week camp. You can put this picture up here. So that's my church group at Falls Creek. That was in 1999. If you can't see very clearly, and I'm glad, because in the bottom right corner is me and my friends with our shirts off. Because I was a teenage boy, so now my sons would do the same thing. It's pretty embarrassing if you really look at all the details in this photo, so don't get up too close and look. So Falls Creek was this camp. We would go every summer. It was a week-long camp, and that was my church group, and there were about 100 other churches there every summer at the same time, and it's this massive city, and we would go to chapel. It's in the tabernacle. It's an open-air tabernacle that seated probably like 3,000 kids, and we would sing old hymns with an old Baptist musician, and there was no air conditioning, and we were on wooden benches, and we were required to wear jeans to every event, right? So it was very hot, extremely hot. People would pass out, and we know that the Spirit's moving when a couple of kids passed out there, right? But it was very formative to me. I was given the chance as I was there all the time. So we see that here, this is not all kids who go to our church, right? When you go to youth camp, what happens is you have a group of people who go all the time, and then they invite their friends because it's so fun. So you have all these friends from outside who are coming in. So you get a chance to share the gospel and the good news with kids who don't go to church. They get an experience of Jesus at camp, and you get to connect with friends. You get closer. I was given a chance to be a leader. My youth pastors happened to be named Scott. Scott Newton, he was poured into me a lot. And what he did is he saw that God had gifted me in certain ways, and he gave me leadership chances. I was up on stage. I led worship. Yes, guitar. I'm not going to take over. Kenzie, don't worry. You don't want me up here. But G, C, and D, I'm good. Maybe a little E minor. That's about all I got. But that's almost all 90s worship songs, so I was good at it. But I got a chance to lead and be on stage and share the gifts God had given me to lead other kids of my own age. And it was very formative. I would say that at Falls Creek Baptist Camp is when I felt my call to ministry, when God said, I've given you this, and this is what you will do eventually in life. Now, I will tell you, I ran away from that at first. I did not want to do it, but God found me and brought me back, and that sometimes is fun how that happens. But it was in youth group at Falls Creek Baptist Camp that I found that call to ministry. You ought to show this other picture of Falls Creek. I got to show you this too. That's our 1996. I am, let's see, where am I? I'm in the back row behind the guy with the sunglasses. We won there's like a volleyball championship that all of them go, and we won that one year. So I had to commemorate our winning volleyball team. So sorry, that's just showing off, I think, is what that is. Anyways, so Scott read that passage earlier from Romans 12, and I feel like that passage resonated with me a lot this week. So if you don't know, this past week, our youth went to Blueprint. Blueprint is a summer camp in San Antonio where there's a lot of things that happen, but mainly it's working, restoring hope, and restoring homes. So we go with a group, and we're given projects, and we work, and we build for people, and we connect with someone who is in need. We talk with a homeowner, and then we also have times of devotional. We have worship times, and we have teaching, and we have small group times. And it's just a really great week of connecting with a bunch of our youth who are from our church and some who come from outside who are friends. And so this morning, we're going to get to share that story. Like Scott read that passage, I felt like presenting our bodies as living sacrifices, first of all, is what happened this week. We are urged to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. The other thing that I thought was really great about it, when you go to Blueprint, they have these chores that everyone is given every day, things they need to do, and it's called the Body of Christ chores. And so what these are is you're given a different task based off of like a part of the body. So the person who's the stomach makes the lunches for everyone. Yeah, makes sense, right? The hands has to fill the water cooler. And the legs goes and gets tools. So every day everyone has a task, and it's assigned as the Body of Christ. And I think it's a beautiful image of how we together are what is going to do the work of God in the world. And our youth are getting an experience right now of how to do that. It was such a wonderful, exciting time. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to invite up those who volunteered to come and serve. Now, these people did not want to be on stage. I love that they get to be up here. And I love it because you get to hear from them and their hearts and what God has brought them to do. They are some amazing people. I got to be with them all week. I had known them beforehand, but now it's like there's some trauma bonding when you're on a hot roof for 4 days working with people, and when you're sweaty and you're with kids all the time, it's just a wonderful time to be together. So I'm gonna invite Reed and John and Maureen and Jana, if you would come up here. Give them I actually think they need a standing ovation. Come on, stand up, cheer them on. Come on. Well, welcome on stage, you four. Are you so excited to be up here?
So excited.
Look at Reed. He's so excited.
We're here.
Reed, I'm going to ask you a question I didn't tell you I was going to ask, but I think you got this one. Can you tell everyone what we did this week?
Yeah, so there was three groups that we had, and we had two roofing projects and a siding project this week.
Yep, so Maureen, can you tell me, what as we were working this week, or about our group. Tell a little bit about the kids and everyone that, how many we had and sort of what it looked like to have all those people.
Yeah, so I think we had in total 24, 23 kids. We had a good mix of high schoolers and then middle schoolers that made up the group, a good dynamic group of kids, very energetic.
Yeah. So this week, like they said, we did finish one roof, half of a roof, and then, well, for reasons we can't describe, we got a lot done. Let me tell you, it was pretty crazy and it was really hot. What would you think, Jana? Again, you are so Jana writes her answers. If you want to know who's the mama of the group to make sure everyone's doing what they're supposed to do.
It's grandma now.
Grandma, yeah, sorry.
Grandma Nana.
They called her grandma. Jana made sure everyone was doing what they're supposed to do for sure. Jana, can you share with me just what a typical day looked like for every day, what we did?
So get up in the morning, get the kids to breakfast, and then they do the chores, which is a very interesting thing to watch. I don't know if your kids actually do chores at home, but at camp, they chored every morning. They're cleaning bathrooms, they're sweeping and mopping the kitchen or the dining room. And then from there, we make sure we get all our supplies, get in cars, make sure we actually have all the kids, which is a bigger task than you would imagine, head count. There's only 23 or 24. That's the quote we still don't know. Get to the work site. We would have kids would all get in a circle and do a prayer. And one of the body of Christ parts is the heart, which was really cool to see the kids like step up and like pray over the group, and then get to work or try to make a plan of getting to work. And they would work all day long. Again, I don't know these kids' daily lives, but the amount of work that these kids put in, kids that you would think, oh yeah, that guy's not gonna do anything, up on the roof, swinging a hammer, carrying trash, back and forth, all day long, sweating, minimal complaints. Yeah, work hard. And
there were some complaints, but minimal complaints.
Minimal.
I mean, I was complaining, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, John, I'm going to ask you, can you describe our homeowners, that like kind of the situation with the brothers and everything? Can you share that with people?
Yeah, so we had, our work site was two houses. They're brothers, and they had a lot of family around the area, and which is really nice for their family, but the brothers, one of them had MS 10 years ago. He was a runner. He ran many marathons. And he got MS, and he couldn't run anymore. The other brother, the one I was working on, me, Kyle, Jana, and Maureen, it was Mr. Rudy. Ricardo. Rudy and Ricardo. He just had surgery very recently, so he was kind of bedridden and recovery. But what was great is we got to see him on Wednesday because he had a follow-up appointment. And so he was, kind of going from his car to his house. And we actually got the whole group got to interact and see him and talk to him, pray over him. And he just lit up. I can't explain. He just saw us and it was lit up. He had to, he was in recovery from spinal surgery, incision still fresh kind of deal. But he just stood with us and talked with us as much as he could. And, eventually he's like, after the picture, he's like, let's go rest, Just got spinal surgery, but yeah.
Yeah, it was great. It was really neat. This is a different setup than usual. A lot of times when there's groups, if we have multiple groups, you're far apart from each other, so you don't get to be around. But the unique situation we had is there was this big lawn between the two houses, so we could all, as our entire group, have lunch together, or there were a couple of you in the room here who would bring us popsicles or treats, which were very welcome in the heat of the day, so we all got to gather together. So it was a really great chance for us to, we do a lot of work, but also we got to get together and be together in a unique sort of way. And John, this was by far the biggest group you've brought. What year is this that you've gone now?
This is my sixth year. We started out with 4, then 7, 12, 14. Last year was 18, and this year was 24. So.
Yeah, it was really great, really wonderful. Okay, so I would love, this is a question for any of you if you have an answer. Is there a time on this trip when you saw God working? In what ways did you see God working?
Yeah, I think we kind of talked about it, but definitely with the homeowner, Ricardo, and his story. Yeah, I saw it. Me and Kyle got to speak to him and on, I think, day two, and he shared his story and his struggles, and it was really a story of pain. He originally fell at and got injured at work back in 1999, and he had to go through many, many surgeries, and this last one on his back was just the most recent one. And so he's had to do many surgeries, and he explained that once he's healed from this, they're most likely going to have to do another surgery on his neck. And he's just dealt with a lot of nerve pain from this surgery on his back. And he talked about having, or just dealing with all of just this whole medical battle. He's had to deal with a lot of depression and issues with the medication that he's been on with the surgeries. And anyway, just we talked for a long time with him just about his struggles and just seemed like a really rough road that he's been on. But throughout it all, he said that he's always gone back to God, and he just kept explaining how he's had this immense faith through his whole journey. And that really hit me hard. I kept tearing up throughout his whole kind of conversation. And anyway, and so I kept thinking, just while he was talking, who am I to doubt whenever I go through hard things? And yeah, here's this man that's gone through this this really tough situation, and he just has this faith like a mustard seed. And I just saw God through him and his story, and that really gave me the motivation to really give it my all as a leader and encourage the kids to give it their all, you know, with his house and repairing and everything. So,
thank you. That was good. Yeah, we actually, he even told us that he had been paralyzed for 2 whole years.
Right.
Like he was in bed, he couldn't walk at all. So this recovery story about what God has done is just, it's miraculous. Mm-hmm. It really is a miracle what God has done in his life and how he's able to testify to that. So as we are doing this Storyform series, we're also talking about legacy. So we're talking about ways that our life was poured into, which kind of influences what we do. Now, so I kind of wonder for all of you, like, is there any of you, not all of you, any of you, if you want to say, like, is there someone who planted seeds in your life that sort of inspired you to do sort of what we're doing? And like, why did you go to Blueprint? You know, like, what inspired you to do that? We're assuming Reed has some inspiration.
Yeah, so I have three people that come to mind for this. My mom and dad, Jody and Daryl, they really showed me how to love people well. I think there's a pretty good amount of people in this room that they've loved really well, sometimes too well. And yeah, so start there with loving people well. And then Dee Dee Sedgwick, the old executive director, the founder of Blueprint Ministries, just a really incredible woman that saw a need and didn't really give a second thought and just started meeting that need. It started with meeting a homeowner and then taking care of her house, and her husband was a contractor, and so Volin told him to go and fix this woman's house, and that has led to 20 years of Blueprint Ministry being Blueprint Ministry and taking care of thousands of homeowners around San Antonio that have a real need.
Now, Jana, I know you have an answer to this one. So did any conversations with students this week remind you of your own journey of faith?
Yes, and I'm just going to read it or I will get lost. During our church breakout time, I had an in-depth conversation with some of the girls about where we find our self-worth. So we had, like, big church, and then we broke into girls. And then after that, some of the girls and I just stayed and talked. And I was able to share my continued struggle with where I perceive my worth comes from, or where I feel I lack worth, and how I am learning to trust and remember that my worth is not based on what I am lacking or my accomplishments, but fully on God's unconditional love for me. And on the flip side, how we judge others and place worth, good or bad, on how we perceive them. I was able to share my faults and my lessons learned that I'm learning and trying to instill some of these lessons of love in my son, That just because we don't agree with the way somebody lives, our job is to love. We don't have to like their choices, but we absolutely have to show love. And if we are loving our neighbors, truly, truly loving, then the judgment will fade away. And it was just this, like, incredible time. Like, chapel's at 7:30, group time is at, like, 8:30. Usually that's, like, 30 minutes, and then they have free time until 10. I stayed and talked with these girls till 9:45. Like, they gave up their free time to be able to sit and have this, like, very heart-to-heart conversation.
That's good. Yeah. So how did you see the students growing in their faith throughout the week? Any moments of transformation or times to share? Anyone?
Oh, looks like me. So the first message, actually, or the first full message on the second day, the Layton, he used to work at Blueprint Ministries, he talked about Nicodemus and the kind of progression that Nicodemus had, which when we first see him, he comes to Jesus in the night and questions Jesus out of curiosity, out of wanting to know more. And then we see Nicodemus kind of defending Jesus, right, in the second act of Nicodemus' story. And then finally, Nicodemus is helping bury Jesus with, I think it said, 75 pounds of frankincense and myrrh, which is crazy. And, you know, all the disciples left. But I say that just to precursor that because one of the kids came up to me on the third night and was like, hey, can we talk? And I was like, okay, cool. And then she proceeded to ask me all of these like deep theological questions like free will, predestination, why did God, you know, why did all these bad things happen? And I'm like, whoa, like, let's just calm down here. No, I didn't really say that term, but at the root of it all was just doubt. And I got to speak a little bit into that doubt. I didn't answer any of the questions because I don't have any of those answers myself. And if I have answers, I'm a fool, right? I got to speak into a little bit of that doubt of, hey, like we all have doubts. We all go through this roller coaster of days. But the foundation of faith is where it's like, I wrote it down. I can't read it right now. Would you believe me if I told you, kind of deal, right? Like, if we have all these doubts, all these questions, all these like big ticket items that we want God to answer in order us to step out in faith, in order us to believe and have faith in certain situations. If not, you know, the grand scheme of the whole story of God and our faith in his story. But like, if he answered any of those questions, would we believe him, even if he answered it, right? So, a lot of that whole hour 30 minute talk was just like seeing her eyes, just like, and even she even said like the weight of her doubt was kind of slowly shedding away. In that, hey, like, you know, John has struggles too. John, you know, and even like the messages that kind of go after that were like, hey, we all go through this time, like Layton shared, like this is like one of the hardest seasons he's in, which I think, I didn't talk to her after that, but I think like kind of confirms with her that like, even with the doubts, even with these hard questions unanswered, that faith can go beyond that. Faith is like the undergirding or the foundation of, the way we live our lives, the decisions we have. So, I got to see and speak into that kind of moment.
That's great, John. Yeah. So, any of you, what did you learn about the power of community, both within our team and with the families we served?
That community is fun, right? Youth group stuff is fun, and that it allows all of us, not just the kids, just to be more open, honest with each other, And just got me excited for the future of the park youth, right? I don't know if y'all noticed or not. There's a lot of kids, and they're just going to keep growing. But it's just fun, and it's exciting, too.
All right, so how has this experience shaped your view, your own role in God's story going forward? Like, what? So what now? Any of you?
Okay. I'm an introvert. Peopling is really, really hard work for me. I probably only spoken to like 5% of you ever, been here for 8 years. Working outside all day is very easy for me. I went into the week expecting to have a great time with the kids, but fully expected to come home Thursday night absolutely drained, more from the socialization part. Instead, I came home fully energized. I was reminded that this is absolutely the work God has created me for. Working with middle school, I know that's like grown for most people, like they don't understand, but somehow working with middle schoolers and high school students to grow their faith, confidence, and help teach them how to love themselves and others. Getting to strengthen my bond with so many of the kids this week just filled my heart. I have a few close friendships with some of the kids, but just like fully strengthened that. Like we came home Thursday night, got home at like 10:30. We went to Main Event with them Friday. I went running with some of them Saturday. Like excited to see them again today. And doing physical labor outside in the 100 degree temperature is somehow fun for me. If there's a work camp in Alaska in the winter, like I'm out, but. Yeah, for me, it just solidified, like, this is absolutely where I need to be and how fulfilling it is. So, yeah, like, find your place in the church.
Well, thank you all. Give him another hand, everyone. Thank you. You'll move your stools for me. I'm going to invite the band, if you would, to come back up. Yeah, I mean, Reed was saying, our church and our youth group, we've kind of grown it. Really, literally. So we are a 15-year-old church. Some kids were born the first year we planted this church, and they're in our youth group now. But we also have other kids coming. And it's such an exciting time in the way that these volunteers have loved these kids so well. And I got to see that firsthand. And a lot of them do. They'll serve when there's the middle school stuff, and they'll gather with them during the weeks. So I will say first, if you're interested in serving and loving with teenagers, come talk to me. I'll get you connected to where you need to get connected. It's pretty fun and exciting time, and I'm looking forward to what God is going to do. And the reason is, you know, people always say the youth are the future of the church, which I guess technically is true, but I think they're the church now, right? I don't know how much you, as we talk about Serving Sunday, we are intentionally want our kids to learn what it is to serve other people. So we have, if you go to Family Ministries, you need to say hi and thank you to all of these middle schools who are serving, or some of these kids in the back who are serving. It's a very important part to understand in the body of Christ that they have a role, they have a thing to do. God has equipped them where they're at now to serve and to love others, and that we get to instill that in them. This is such an important part of who we are as a church. We're a church that is a multi-generational community, that we worship together intentionally. This is why we have our kids with us at the beginning. We want them to worship with us. We want them to see what it's like to worship. They want to be part of the church community. They're not just something that's going to happen in the future. They are now the body of Christ. If you would stand up with me, I'm going to pray over us, and then we'll continue in worship. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the work that you're doing in the world and that we get to be a part of it. We are so thankful for the youth that you've brought to our church from one way or another, and the way that you've equipped them and you're building them up. We thank you for those who volunteer and who serve. We pray that we are inspired by seeing what they are doing in the world to know that you've called us to do hard things, that you've equipped us and you want us to serve and love other people. And we just want to be examples for them, and we want them to be examples for us. We pray that as we continue to worship, that you are glorified and that we are challenged to go into the world and to be the body of Christ. And it's in Jesus' name we pray, amen.